Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome in. This is the Garden Mama Show. Thank you so very much. I know that you might be a gardener. I know that you might be a driver down the road and just happen to be here. You might be a Super Talk fan and just have that particular thank you very much network always programmed into all your devices. We appreciate that very much. At this particular point in the week, we get to talk about plants. We get to take questions. We get to take texts. And we is me. And yes, it was yesterday, but he's still the birthday boy. Hey, Lance.
I've got around the horn there.
And, I like it. Yeah, I like
50 years old under the belt.
All about catfish.
Catfish.
Huh?
I was blown away at the amazingness of the catfish and how much I ate. And definitely put a
I'm so glad to hear that. I'm glad your mama had a good time because
it's tough
taking your kids out and all of a sudden they're having fun and you're not. You know, yeah, that's no good.
Well, you know, one of the awesome things about it too is it was kind of a throwback on price. And you know, four people. And you know, we ate. Yeah, it was really. Everything you could have hoped for in fried catfish and customer service and a price point that we can all live with.
Well, that's delightful.
But no, it was fun. Thank you for your generosity and kindness and for allowing me to come in here and hang out with you. We're after 2 years doing this together.
We are. So we've rolled past two.
It feels like it's very, I don't know. We were laughing about that before. Just kind of everything kind of comes together at some point. You never really know when those things happen.
That's right.
But it is absolutely
that critical
a
critical mass thing.
Yeah, it's absolutely a treat to get to do this.
Our summer has absolutely put us into critical mass, and that's why some of my pictures today are a little bit odd. I built a baffle in this last week or two, and if you happen to join us at supertalk.tv, you will see one of my very favorite sculptures, which was a gift to me, and also, frankly, the best, absolutely most delicious thyme I have ever grown. I have thyme in three different places, and this particular container and this particular space has always just done beautifully for me. So now that there's a baffle there, it actually has a place to sit. And a Gulf fritillary butterfly spent some time on my pentas this week, long enough to let me get shots of both its upper and lower wings. If you've never, the Gulf fritillary is such a beautiful orange butterfly, but when they fold their wings up, it's a entirely different, almost black and white and brown pattern. You're also seeing pictures today of the one rain this week, thank you very much, at my house. A lot of wind, though, and knocked Paul the poinsettia right off of his little perch. Didn't break a thing. I have never had a poinsettia even go through a door without breaking. And for some reason, he's tough. So I invite you to join us there at supertalk.tv. And, of course, as you send pictures in today, we'll be more than happy to add them to the collection so everyone can – we can talk about it, and we can also see what's going on in your garden. It's a lot of fun. 9 out of 10 garden writers agree. I've read so many articles this week that I'm just overwhelmed at how prescient I am. I love that word. 3 weeks ago, I said you need to start making your soil preparations if you really want to plant a wildflower patch this fall. Now everybody, not because they listen to me, but because it's timely. No matter where you live in the Southeast, it's time to do this soil prep. And there are people, I've had people tell me, you do realize that when you tell people they need to go out in the middle of the night and prep this soil because it's too hot the rest of the time. Well, it was 80 degrees last night in some parts of our area, so that might not even help. But, yes, if you do the soil prep now and make sure you've got a well-drained soil and something that has good tilth, that means when you put the seeds into it or even the little plants, but particularly if you're going to seed, which most people do, you will have a better place for them to land and therefore a better place for them to grow. I'm doing this, but I'm not doing it for wildflowers. I'm going to grow carrots. Mama's complaint today, grocery store carrots are terrible. Now, I've said it. You can agree with me or disagree with me. Used to buy packages of carrots. And yes, I will pay extra for organic carrots because carrots are one of the things that concentrate pesticides so intensely in them. And I find that they're much sweeter if that has not been done to them and if they're grown organically. So I do go the extra mile. But I've even gone back to the bag with the who knows where they came from, just to see if I could get carrots. But they're not the same. They're poorly sorted, or else they're not growing the same sizes and lengths. There'll be some in the same bag that are 10 inches long and some that are 4, and obviously they were the same batch of carrots because they got picked together. They don't work for me, and they're not as sweet as they should be. Yes, I know it's summer, but we still have carrots in areas that, you're going to put it in the store, it better work. So I've decided this has been going on long enough. I'm going to grow my own carrots again. I haven't done that in a few years, so I am absolutely making some soil preparations, some soil work getting done so that I can do that. Maybe you are, too. Terry's got Bogachuda is full of beauty berries. That's beautiful. We do love beauty berries. That's one of those plants, the natives that belong just everywhere and are so beautiful at this time of the year when we're trying to have some things to look interesting throughout the year. The classic example is if you grow, for example, let's say daylilies. If you grow only daylilies, there's several months during the year when there's not a whole lot to look at in your garden except for the little tags that tell you which daylily will be there next year. So what you do oftentimes, that's obviously serious growing, and that's different. But if you're trying to have a garden or a landscape, you need to have a little bit more diversity. And when we add in the native shrubs, we get some interesting highlights. For instance, there are not that many shrubs that already have berries on them at this point in the summer, but the beauty berries do begin quite early, and that's a joy. They're a different color, too. That purple berry is just really, really amazing. Several different things to suggest to you. If you are in the wildflower planting business and you're looking mostly for perennials, fall is the time to do that across the Southeast. I don't have any relationship with Eden Brothers, but I do find that the way they have divided up their categories of which wildflower seeds are in which state mixes and which region mixes make a whole lot of sense. So even if you're not going to purchase from them, you may want to go get some info from them. Their seeds do sprout, by the way. I've ordered other things from them. But anyway, just something to think about when you're considering what you're going to plant. You may as well plant something that has a good reputation for growing here. Hello. We've got all kind of good things coming in this morning. Ron in Ocean Springs. He's both. We like that. That's fun. Let's see. Strider in Indianola. Ooh, that's pretty. Morning cloud cover in the Delta. Just beautiful. I noticed this morning when I came out, we're approaching the full moon, and there was a big cloud at my house, so the whole thing was just illuminated by the moon behind it. And it was, for August, it was pretty spooky. I liked it. It's a pretty thing, an interesting bit of thing. Fun stuff. Talking about our caller last week about clovers to plant, and the white clovers being more the honeybee clover, the crimson clover being more the bumblebee clover, I was interested to see that when it comes to perennial and long-lasting annual wildflowers for the state of Mississippi, actually, crimson clover is on every one of those lists, as is bee balm and blanket flower. And that's some of the things we talk about here a lot. Those are plants that are really easy to grow and beautiful here. So you should think about them as you are talking about your pollinators. But if you're doing honeybees, don't overlook white clover, because that's very, very important. I learned a lot this week. Oh, my goodness. I bet you did, too. There was a lot of news out here in the garden kind of world and in the green kind of world. I I don't think I have any Viking roots. I have never done all of that, so I can't rule it out, but I don't think I have any Viking roots. But I was just fascinated. I've always been interested in the legacy of that culture. I recognize that it's not all the big horns and flaming funerals and all that sort of stuff. There was a lot of other things that they did, and they were among the first civilizations that we are in the western part of the world that gave us the laws and the rules and the this and that. It was not like Nebuchadnezzar, not like real that kind of rules, but the rules for how do you run a group of people, the management sorts of styles, okay? So for a long time in reading there's a thing, the Forsäringen in Swedish, which is the Forsa ring. This is where we get our understanding of their language, and it is very much the same as anything else. It's kind of a universal translator sort of thing. Well, like so much that happens, and I'm so glad I got to be around to see this, we've had to reinterpret what we thought it said. So we used to think the Vikings were these really tough, hard guys, and one of the examples that people would cite was that even when they had to pay a fine, it had to be two different things. They couldn't just pay a fine. They had to get out there and do both oxen and silver to rectify the situation with the rest of the, well, that turns out not to be true. So it was actually options for which way you were going to pay. Turns out the Vikings had a little bit of give in their logic, and I like that. I'm glad to know that they were not. I always like when we are able to bust myths. I know people who get very upset when they, you know, you were taught X, Y, or Z, and now all of a sudden you have to learn A, B, and C. Well, yeah, you do. So just get over it and keep your brain busy. Keep learning stuff. For example, when I was a kid, we were told you don't go swimming in the Gulf of Mexico in August because that's when the jellyfish are there. Well, it turns out it's not just August anymore. So if you went by that particular bit of info, you would not have it. You know? Oh my goodness.
I know, I love it. Trey, thank you.
I'm sorry.
I'm actually putting
that one
up.
Resisted that. Yeah. I have resisted that now for more than 2 years. So thank you, Trey.
Just so people know what we're talking about.
Yes, Trey has come ahead.
Very good little deal here, thrown back from the medieval times, and I think this may be off of Monty Python.
Oh yeah,
yes, it was Lance. It was a very uncommon name nowadays,
but
in medieval times, people were called Lance a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I got a good chuckle out of that. Thank you. Yes,
they were.
I have been called Lance a lot.
I'm sure.
I'm not from. I don't think I have any. Knights of the Round Table royalty type of nobility, you know.
Well,
but hey, I'll take it if somebody's handing it out. Yeah.
We can make it up.
Take it.
We can take it. I have been this week gathering more water from the air conditioner because the air conditioner is running all the time, and of course if you catch the water that if you're able to do that, not everybody can, but if you're able to, it does provide a whole lot of water. And I'm watering in advance of the Fondren Bottle Tree Garden Tour, which will be October 5th and 6th, and we will be broadcasting from Fondren Yard Saturday.
And the yard looks amazing. It really
very
does.
Sweet. Thank you.
I was so blown away at the green tint to everything with all the
It rained 3 days ago,
yeah,
so
yeah,
that's why a
really
lot of
good.
Those things are green. But yes, I've been as much water as I can come up with. I'm watering.
You're being very creative. You're saving your AC water.
Yeah.
Is there a way that's easiest to do that? I know that
no.
It drips out. Are you putting a bucket under there? And
I have,
how does that work?
Yeah, I have a 50-gallon plastic container under there, and I go and take out gallons at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It would be much better if there was a pipe that went from where the air conditioner water comes out to something else.
Well, that's what
know.
I was going to say. I have one for my mini split at Deer Camp. And,
exactly.
And it has the pipe to it, and it drops down.
Mm-hmm.
And I've thought about doing the same thing.
Yep.
It's just
You'd be surprised how much water it is.
Yeah, just up there last weekend when it's 97 degrees, that thing was sweating.
Yeah, well,
it
sure.
I mean, it works, but it was a lot of water coming out of that.
And if we're not... We tend to take water so for granted in the Deep South because we have so much of it. But if we are not putting it to work, in this particular case, I'm having to pay for it. And it's a lot right now. So unless I dig a well, I'm going to continue to grab the water from the air conditioner and water my plants with it. So from Viking runes, my friends, to Neurons Rule. I thought this was so interesting. The Washington University School of Medicine... I love zebrafish. I'm not a tropical fish keeper, but I'm an appreciator. And I think zebrafish are just fascinating. And they do get a lot of research done on them because they have a lot of characteristics that are sort of spread out across the fish world and beyond, actually. But survival and adaptability are two things that go into regeneration. And in this particular case, it's the spine of the zebrafish that they're trying to figure out how they could enhance it. How come they're able to do that, and how can we enhance our ability, I should say, to mimic that sort of thing? Well, just like so many things, until you really look deeply at it, you don't realize. The consideration had always been that the whole business of stem cells forming new neurons was what built this. And so if you built up the production of stem cells, you could possibly get the whole situation, the neurons, to build themselves back up. Nope, you got to have the neurons. And so, therefore, you have to build those connections and those capacities. Not that the other doesn't help, but the other is more like a carrier for the neurons that are actually there that actually have to go through a repair process. We didn't know that. And we can only thank the zebrafish for helping us figure that out, because it will make us it's just like if you're getting dressed in the morning and you decide to put your hat on first, it's going to change the rest of your outfit, right? On the other hand, if you put on your outfit and you decide, well, this hat would be good with it, and you put it on, you're on the right road. In this case, if we go to the stem cells and make them make new neurons, we're not actually going to solve the problem that was the basis of wanting the more neurons. So the zebrafish will teach us a lot, and always have. So I'm glad to see that information. Ooh, I got one for you. Who said this? He'll never get this.
Let's see. Yeah, give me a try.
In 1967, I entered Harvard as a freshman, confident.
John Kennedy.
Confident in the way that only 17-year-olds are, that I could change the world. Here at the beginning of back-to-school season, I know it's a week or something till football cranks up. We have so much going on and so much anticipation. But who would have said when I was 17, I went to Harvard confident I could change the world?
In 65 range?
67.
Mm-hmm. I'm going with John Kennedy from Louisiana.
he could have said that, but it was Bonnie Raitt.
Bonnie Raitt?
And she did, in fact, change the world.
Yes, you
know? Yeah, her father was a Tony Award-winning Broadway actor, Mr. John Raitt. Anyway,
the things you learn on this show.
I'm telling you, you just never know, you know. So sometimes it helps to know people that can't sleep at night because their brains are too active.
And I got a song playing for you.
I really appreciate this. This is fun. Let's go back to 66 for just a moment and come back here for the Garden Mama Show.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. You may be able to save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year, or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out.
Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Retired or retiring?
You know, kids will really try to get away with a lot of stuff. That particular little tune is Althea from the Picking on the Grateful Dead work, which is so much fun.
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when it's heavy metal that they're picking on. It just drives me crazy. It's wonderful. But well, anyway.
The Star Trek 66 original theme song, there was a choice I had to make there. It was between Star Trek 1966 or Lorne Greene sings Bonanza.
Thank you for not doing that to me.
It's one of my favorite songs of all time. I love listening to Lorne bellow it out.
I'm not really that crazy about Bill Murray singing Star Wars either, and I only say that so that you won't.
I'll find that one now.
You'll be looking for that one. Oh, Lord. Anyway, we do have some musical moments here on the Garden Mama Show. We hope that they make you giggle the way they make us giggle, because absolutely that is the
garden
way to
is
go.
Music.
It's, you know, if we're not enjoying gardening, I get sad when I see people in there at the garden center looking like they're about to kill somebody. You know, it's like, wait a minute. What are y'all doing? Because it's supposed to be the easy part. Life is tough. Life's rough. There's a lot you got to do. There's a lot of things you got to keep up with. There's a lot of responsibilities. And sometimes there's a lot of authority that you have to exercise. But gardening is not like that. Gardening is you and the plants. And really, frankly, as much time or as little time as you want to put into it, you can make that happen. You don't have to be obsessed like me, I promise. I'm getting up earlier every morning because it gets hot too soon. I have to get outside.
It has been. You're doing the right thing. Because the plants, they need you out there early. They need to. They need a little pep talk. They need love.
And I need the pep talk too.
Before the heat hits them.
Exactly.
Now
exactly.
I know we have a little rain in the forecast this
weekend.
Those of you out there in the Delta, I know, get that opportunity to do the weather. I know there may be a little rain out there. Be careful today. I could see it kind of billowing and doing its thing. I hope it's the kind of rain that wettens your garden and doesn't tump over trees and stuff. But
I don't really need any more limbs on the car.
That leads into the Garden Mama had a limb.
Today, it turns out that my car is tougher than it looks. That limb bounced. Thank goodness. Anyway.
But yeah, make sure your cars are not parked under the oak trees.
And look up, because I had already moved it away from the one where the branch fell before.
It's that time of year where it's been dry. When things get wet, they get brittle.
Well, and we're looking at a very serious situation in the Deep South. We plant a lot of trees. We love our trees. But after about 60, 70, 100 years in the urban environment, they've kind of worn their time out. And many of them can't even be logged. You know, they're just not in that good a shape. So,
man, keep your eyes peeled on your pines still now.
Oh, please.
Because we've seen a lot of the crews out there for the county and those. If you live in an area where you have dead pines, please get in touch with your county folks and let them know. They will get out there and cut those. Most of them will. And there are a lot of them that are dangerous. And if
these,
you see
of course,
that,
are the ones. If you look up and the pine tree is brown.
Brown and leaning.
And starting to go. Or if you walk up next to the tree and you can see that it's been bored into, you can also, that doesn't happen as often. If at that point the tree's about to fall down, you should move. I mean, not physically move your house, but you should move out of the way. But our insect problems are contributory, and in fact, of course, we're seeing that with the Colorado spruces out west. We're losing entire mountainsides. And those clouds are so pretty. My goodness.
You know, we were laughing before the show about, and I'd sent you a picture of that grass that has the purple little weird little flower at the top out in the fields in the Delta. I'm going to put that up. But we were just talking about how long have we been doing this? And I looked all the way back to when we first started, and the first image I sent you
was that
little thing. Yeah. So this is a
This is the third time this week, because I've gotten two emails about it from one person who is in Hernando.
Yeah.
Who wants to know what that flower is.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to throw it up there, but it is funny how things come full circle sometimes. You know, there's great questions out there. If anybody...
I don't know everything.
Exactly.
Don't even pretend to.
Humanity is wonderful, isn't it? When you can show your vulnerabilities. I love the fact that I know nothing, and I keep learning from you guys. So it's wonderful. Thanks for putting up with me.
If we're not learning something new every day, frankly, the day is not as good as it could be.
Now, the plant that you have in the yard, that it's hard to describe, but it has like arms and they go in all kind of directions, and it's as you're going back away from the seating area toward the house. It's kind of sitting up on a pedestal.
Oh, that's Gary.
Yeah, Gary. What is Gary?
Gary's a philodendron.
Thing's amazing.
That's Gary had it back here in the sink here at the radio station.
That's how you named it, Gary.
Yeah.
Okay. That thing's something
One
else.
Day Gary said, do you want this? I said, sure. I have a piece of it fell off, actually, and I've got to propagate it, so I'm going to give it back to Gary when I get that rooted. But it's one of those plants that somebody obviously brought to the office and was here, mm-hmm. and because he knows a lot about plants, it ended up in his office. But it was taking up sink space. So it's, now that it's really big, it's a split leaf philodendron, but it's not the traditional type. It's one of the climbing philodendrons.
Yeah, it has all kind of things going. It's like an octopus almost.
Yeah, all sorts of air roots and all that stuff.
Is that what that is called, an air root?
Yeah, those brown ones that just, those are air
so
roots.
They don't have to be in the dirt. Those can function outside of, mm-hmm. and they're just going to absorb.
The plant uses it as anchors and also as a way to get to access more oxygen and nutrients.
Would you see something like that growing on a tree or in a crevice of a rock or something like that where you don't need soil?
Climbing philodendrons can grow 20-foot vines in about a quart of soil sometimes. Okay. I mean, they just don't need...
Native to what area, would you say?
It's difficult to say. It's tropics, but I can't tell you where. But there are some that, because they photosynthesize so efficiently and they take in so many nutrients through their leaves, they barely need any soil at all.
Well, it seems it's still watermelon season. Wes in Starkville, thank
you. Looking good, Wes.
Yeah, it looks delicious.
That's wonderful. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate that. That's great. I'm telling you what, we can grow some food here. We're really lucky. There are people that can't do this. Today, my friends, and I'm not patting myself on the back for this because I didn't invent it.
I can run in there and do it for you. I can pat you on the back.
Today is thrift shop day.
What?
Yes,
is that why I didn't see that one? Let's see what we got going on this day.
Thrift shop day, black cat appreciation.
Oh, I love a black cat,
all these things
actually.
That fit into my life so effectively.
Hey, I love thrift shops. I found a Frederick Remington original in a thrift shop once.
See?
And
you never
I didn't have the money to buy it. It was like $100. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know what this thing's worth.
You just never
came back a week later. It was gone. It was hidden somewhere. Mm-hmm. Somebody must have, you know. But yeah,
they knew it was there, so it's behind something else.
That's right. Today, Friday was Bratwurst Day. You know that.
I'm so sorry. Do we really have to celebrate bratwurst?
But you do have vanilla custard day today.
And I can do without that, too.
Okay.
But I didn't know that, I'm willing to celebrate it. Can we make it into like a panna cotta with a raspberry layer, that kind of custard?
I'm happy with any. Yeah, I'll go with any kind. I had my first lemon-filled donut the other day.
Ah,
that was
a whole new world.
A life-changing experience.
New world.
Get those green lemons of yours.
You see my baffle that I built? That's on supertalk.tv. I did that with concrete blocks because the space needed filling. But it just is part of when you come to the Bottle Tree Garden Tour in Fondren this fall, you'll get to see these things. My garden's a plant collection with a whole bunch of stuff that accumulates over time, and I try to put it to work. And so that's this week's project is the front of the bed that I've rebuilt, and I don't know what we're going to – I don't have anything tall enough, so I got to go search for that. It'll work out.
Well, I mean, in the tangent of – the day of thrift.
Yes, yes.
As I was saying, you'll find things. There's a story in here. Just consider the story of a British woman who snapped up a diamond ring 30 years ago, and it cost her $15 at a thrift store. Turns out it was the real deal, and in 2017 of June, she sold it for nearly $1 million.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
That's like hitting the lottery, isn't it?
It's better.
Give me a $15 scratch off.
You got to wear it for a few years, you know.
It's better than winning the lottery, right? You get to use it for 30 years. Then you go, let me go see what this thing's worth. What? What?
I do. Whenever you watch those shows where they evaluate things and give you the different things, I always think you're going to need more insurance. Or you're going to need a safety deposit box or something,
don't tell anybody
that's at your house. Difficult stuff. Ron in Ocean Springs, he's talking about the water business from the I love this. It's a really great idea, and the birds would use it too. Put it into something, put a pump in it, the water from the air conditioner.
It's clean water.
Yeah.
It's as clean as it gets.
Yeah. I mean, it hasn't hurt my plants.
Yeah.
And I'm this is a funny picture, but I don't have to go to the gym because I'm hauling water all around my house.
Need some good shoulder workout, and his knees are in good shape. It's amazing what happens when you get out and get a little work done.
The plants appreciate it. I don't know.
Maybe, but the hummingbirds, your back
the hummingbirds are around. The dragonflies are prolific. And the Gulf Fertile area is about the fifth kind of butterfly that has fluttered by through there.
Is there a purpose for a dragonfly in a garden? Because I've seen a bunch of them. Do they do what do they do actually? I know they're beautiful and really cool, but what is the function?
Well, for one thing, they make noise that other critters hear, and the dragonflies are harmless, so sometimes the other ones go away.
Okay.
But mostly they are just part of the whole pollinating world. They're moving around, shaking flowers, landing on things, picking stuff up.
They're not per se a pollinator where they pick it up and take it, but it'll get on them, and then they'll pollinate that way, right?
They're just part of that pollinator class. And frankly, if we're not having them, it's like fireflies. It's something that you miss. You realize that the ecology is not quite there. And, of course, yes, they are a food source for birds. So my birds would want you to know that they keep that population pretty good in check sometimes.
We got a watermelon comment here from Ray.
Hey, Ray. Okay.
Speaking of watermelons, he took out a section of wood fence and put in a brick fence, made a flower bed, and used the compost and turned out it had watermelon seed in it. He said doesn't have the heart to pull the watermelon because it looks so happy. There you go.
There's no reason not to
let it just
leave
enjoy
it
itself. Huh?
The herbs are suffering. It's probably very hot for the herbs with the brick and the I know the conditions in that garden are beautifully sunny, but it is probably hot for them. You might want to give them a little bit of shade if we don't get some deep rains. Now, I think you're in Clinton. I think you're probably going to get some good rain over the next few days, and they'll look a little better after that. But the heat, and that's the other thing. See, I've got bricks, and I might put the front on my bed out of bricks, but they get hot, and so I don't know if I want that or if I don't. I've also got those glass bricks that are still looking for a home, looking for a use. But I don't know if I want to do that. So I have to go. My motto is shop here first. You never know what you'll find.
It's a palette. You got a palette to play with. And,
yeah.
And the yard really did. I know you're getting ready for the Bottle Tree celebration and the live broadcast that we're going to do there. Mm-hmm. I'll be here. You'll be having fun. I'll be in here twisting knobs. But I know that was something we wanted to do last year, and so I'm very excited this year that you'll be on site. And the yard, I know last year you were kind of,
Now they've got the yard fixed up.
It looks great.
They're starting to use it in Fondren. And for more, the information is available for us, and you can do tickets and whatnot at fondrengardentour.com. There will be more information as the weeks go on because there's a lot.
And what is our date on that again?
October 5th and 6th.
5th and 6th. Right.
The 5th is when Garden Mama Show will be at Fondren Yard, and I'm really looking forward to that.
And then that gives me the opportunity to go and visit on the 6th.
Yes, dragonflies do eat mosquitoes. I was going to get into the larvae, and then I got distracted.
You tell our listeners about the invention or what Hunter learned how to
do that.
That's amazing.
I can't do that yet.
Oh, my goodness.
I have to have video to be able to show it.
Yeah, I'll find some.
The mosquitoes have gotten out of control at my property. And there's no standing water. There's no this. There's no that. But there's still mosquitoes. And I think it's because of there's a very lush green world there. And they find places, even when there's no standing water, they find places to live and to propagate. So we're in the process of doing fans and screens and various and sundry other things. But Lance is going to do one on his big fan. And that's really the one that we will get to hear about. Because after you do that on your big fan, we will have it's got more power. The fans we're practicing on are smaller. It works, though.
It works great. I actually got home and had to watch a couple videos. I'm like,
it's something, isn't it?
I want to see this again. And it does.
I'm telling you.
It pumps out the mosquitoes into the net. And then, it blew me away how many are there just floating around.
Just floating around.
It's like these guys are hanging around, buddy.
That's it.
Get rid of you.
And
no poison.
Here's the deal. This is all because mosquitoes are a big problem, and we are already understanding we should not be gardening early in the morning or at dusk, which is two of the times that we both love to get out there, you know. And sometimes it's what we all have time to do. But we did have the first death from West Nile virus of this year, and it is later in the year, but this is just the beginning of it, friends. So pay attention to your mosquitoes. Let us help you get rid of them if we possibly can. We're working on it. Oh, my goodness. It's Eric Lindell. Stick around. We'll be back. California's falling. Detroit's burning.
whole lot of trouble in D.C. town. Nothing pretty about New York City. Mississippi take me to higher ground. Smell a man lonely, bring it to your knees. They don't know the Cajun women. Spanish moss hanging from a beagle.
Ole Miss Athletics is kicking off Ole Miss football a day early with a gigantic party. Starring ACM Award winner and Ole Miss's own Brett Young. Live.
In case you didn't know.
Friday night, August 30th at the SJB Pavilion at Ole Miss. It's Brett Young. Brett Young with special guest, another Ole Miss guy, Josh Kelly.
Just like that Georgia clay.
Plus, Mustache the Band bringing their 90s country party. Listen carefully. Reserve seats and parking passes are on sale now at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. So don't wait. Get yours now as we kick off Ole Miss football.
If you're going to take your shot, then take it.
This is your official invitation to start the party a day early with Brett Young, Josh Kelly, and Mustache the Band. Live in concert at the SJB Pavilion. Presented by Ole Miss Athletics and Super Talk.
If your engine is...
have to start a competition for how to take the water from your air conditioner condensate and turn it in. We got lots of people with lots of ideas that are all very good. Small pump, drum tower, I like all of that. There's really good choice, and I'm telling you, that's where I'm headed. I've always captured a certain amount of it, but now I'm really deliberately working harder to do that. So thank you for your ideas. Excuse me. Thank you for doing it, too, as a matter of fact. Joe and Madison, this is great. This looks to me like a red cedar tree that you've got. And he talks about his hostas as well. They were eaten up by either snails or rabbits. Probably snails. Not that the rabbits wouldn't enjoy them, too, but it's just more likely that it was snails. Diatomaceous earth, when they first come up in the spring, is a really good idea in a circle around them that keeps the snails away from things. But you also have to continue to do that with hostas because they're so close to the ground. And continuing to keep the area, the top of the soil around the hosta planting with diatomaceous earth helps a lot. Yes, they'll probably come back. Oftentimes they're eaten to the ground. In fact, one of mine just got taken out by a weed eater. And in fact, not by me, but it did get taken out, and it has already sprouted again. So there we are. Anyway, Anna's in Oxford. Very dry in Oxford,
well,
huh? What's going on today?
It's very dry.
Mm-hmm.
But it's humid, so it's not exactly a desert, is it?
Yes, I know.
You're talking about saving water. Well, you know, my water bill's going up because I've got a very awkward backyard. I got things over there and things over here, and it's very awkward. But we also have a fish pond. It's small. It was just one of those things for cattle watering.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and we have five fish. One of them, unfortunately, a couple of years ago, jumped out. But other than that, we've got these five fish, and they're very old.
That was exciting.
But the problem is, there's the trees have sort of gone to nothing. So it gets very hot, and we get a lot of green stuff in the pond, and. It was a horse trough. That wasn't what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so my husband said, you know, I'm going to get this pump. He got a pump. We hooked up the hose to it. And the hose was nice and long. So I was able to pump the water and water my plants at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like it.
I'm not thinking. I'm not thinking that this green stuff, you know, it's that.
You've got an algae probably in there.
Algae, yes,
mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that hurts the plants.
It's more likely to clog up your hose than it is to hurt the plants.
Yeah, well, it flowed very well. And so now we have a nice clear pond where I can actually see the fish, and they're very grateful.
I bet. They like that better.
And I watered my plants at the same time.
How old are they? Tell me how old your fish are.
Oh, gosh, they've got to be at least 15 years.
I love that.
We actually had babies one year.
My goodness.
We have, it's pretty, I used to put some lilies on it and everything else, but that kind of clogged things up. So it's clear now, except for the algae. And these are just goldfish. And they say that they will only grow as fast or as big as there is room in the pond.
Yes.
So they don't really grow. Mm-hmm. They just sort of are there.
Are they hand size?
Sorry?
Are they the size of your hand?
I would say about 4 or 5 inches.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fun.
And we had this black one. That's what we used to do. Because they're there all year. Including
yes.
the winter.
Yes.
We don't do anything with them. And people say, "Oh, you got to keep the bubbler going," but no, you don't. Mm-hmm. That's when one jumped out because it got too cold. So what they do is they just go to the bottom of the pond, and they survive.
And wait.
And the next year we don't need.
They just wait.
Yeah, I guess they hibernate or something.
But I love that it's double duty. I love that. Well, goldfish really have a wider range than we know, and yes, when they have an environment that is theirs, they will find the darkest, warmest spots and spend lots of time there. So, I mean, I'm sure your whole environment is slightly more protected because it's planted. You know, that also helps.
Well, yeah, but the one problem is I've got ivy crawling up. Some tree, which I'd love to actually take down, but my husband says no. And I didn't realize that ivy, first of all, flowered, and then it had berries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it will.
And they end up in the pond.
I bet they do.
That was hard to clean that out.
I bet that. When English ivy flowers and fruits, it becomes a bigger pest than we... I mean, because then you can't get rid of it. Then it's everywhere, you know, so...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a hard one.
And spraying it and pulling it and spraying it.
Yeah. Luckily, it doesn't make you break out like poison ivy, so it's just a pest.
No, I had that one, too. But they have the habit of calling this English ivy, and English ivy was actually very nice.
Right. Well, it's our climate that is the bigger problem for the ivy, for Algerian ivy as well, if you get a little bit further south. You know, the really big-leafed one can also be a problematic plant because it's the growing conditions are just too good, and nothing eats it. So it's not kudzu, but our conditions just really do encourage it. For example, you can't plant the classic English ivy in Atlanta anymore in a landscape setting.
I guess it's forbidden, you know, right?
Because it's just grown everywhere, so they took it away. So, I mean, they do have rules against it.
In England, it would climb over the church wall and things like that. Mm-hmm. Not very nice.
It's lovely. Until it takes the wall down, it's lovely.
No, the wall's been there forever.
We hope so.
Okay.
We used to say in South Louisiana, sometimes it was the ivy holding it up, you know. So I appreciate hearing about it. I'm glad that you're able to do that. I think that's brilliant.
So everybody should get a hose and empty the pond and clean their pond and water the plants at the same time.
Go buy a pump. Thanks, Anna.
Yeah.
Take
bye-bye.
Care. Have a wonderful weekend. That's a great one. I like that. It's really smart. Goldfish pond or koi or whatever has to be in the shade. That's right. At least a third of the day. That's true. That's true. So, no, don't cut the tree down. If the tree is what's given the shade there. But they absolutely do have to have that. Now, we talk about the balance between sun and shade. And if you're not having fish, it's different than if you are having fish. If you're trying to grow lilies, you want a little bit more sunlight, but you're not necessarily a great deal more. Good morning, Mabel. What's going on today? No,
we're
going to.
Yeah, we didn't
I'm
have
sorry.
Enough time. I didn't want to rush Mabel. She's going to call
I'm
us back
sorry.
At 9:05.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sorry.
I'm not in tune with
No, that was me. I was trying to do three things at once. So,
congratulations. I have been kind of interested to hear folks talk about a few things that are going on, and I'm going to bring a couple of things to you in the next hour that I really am so excited that there's actually research where I don't have to just continue to sound like some kind of woo-woo person that brings you stuff that, you know, you can't nail down. I can nail these things down now. Underground acoustics. All right. When we, you know, your grandfather told you it sounded like you could hear the corn grow out there. And when you go out and see little kids laying with their head on the ground and they tell you the worms are talking. Well, maybe true. Underground acoustics coming up in the next hour. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal on Super Talk Mississippi.
What a joy it is to be here today. Thank you so very, very much. Whether you are listening live in the moment, whether you are, I don't know, maybe you grab the download or maybe you're listening to the rebroadcast, I appreciate it. However you decide to listen, if you're taking me with you, I'm glad to be there. So thank you very, very much for that. Ken's in, this is good, Ken. The snake plant has decided to grow a new leaf after a few years. I have one that just did that. Oh, and it's beautiful. But it just sat there and sat there and sat there. I didn't know if this thing was ever going to grow, but it didn't die. So it's interestingly enough, that's really nice. So excited. You finally are doing something right. Congratulations. We're celebrating. Ken and I, we both have a snake plant that has put out a new leaf. For the first time, this one has been sitting in my house or sitting in my collection of mother-in-law's tongues for ages. And they all grow except that one. And now he's got a leaf. And his does, too. It's going to be pretty, too, because it's a nice tall sprout. I like that. That'll get its yellow edges and be really lovely very soon. Good morning, Mabel. Tell me what you want to plant.
Good morning.
Hey, what you want to plant?
That's what I want to know. He pull all the tomato plants up.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to know where he can plant and place them.
Well, go ahead.
The way the tomatoes are working
right now is that they are growing strongly, and if the plants are in good shape, The good news is, in Jackson, where you are, next week the temperatures are going to be in the 60s at night, so they'll actually be able to bloom and set some fruit, perhaps. If you have little bitty plants, this is a good time to fertilize them and get them growing, because we will have those good, we have good growing conditions, but we will have good flowering and fruiting conditions coming up.
Oh, and you pull the ones up. We had got a lot of tomatoes off.
Mm-hmm. But well, they get worn out a lot of times. Yeah, they get worn out, and that's why we start again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's also time to start a lot of other stuff, though. If you're in the mood to plant, now's the time when it comes to vegetables.
Okay, now which plant can I plant now that won't be too hot for?
Well, you can plant the seeds for everything like broccoli and cabbages and all that stuff. But you can also right now plant in the garden itself. You can plant squash, you can plant radishes, you can plant beans, all of those things. Now, you have to keep them watered if it doesn't rain, because it is hot weather. But those things all grow now, and they will make before it gets too cold in the fall. So I'm going with squash. I'm going to grow Chinese cabbage, but that's because I'm crazy. So I'm not planting squash, but if I was planting squash, it would be right now.
Okay. Well, he wanted to plant something different, because we had peppers and and tomatoes. He planted some greens and stuff, but they didn't.
Summer's really hot for the greens, but it's getting to be time for the greens coming up pretty quick now. September, okay. We usually think about planting mustards.
Like watermelons. He just wanted to know what all he can plant, because he had a lot of things he had planted in pots. It didn't come out so well.
If you could plant it in the spring, you can plant it right now. But be aware that it's going to get, the weather does change. So, for example, you could plant a squash. If it takes 90 days, it's going to be trickier than if it's just 2 months, okay? So, but you can plant anything. Anything can grow now that grew in the spring, except maybe corn and watermelon. We just don't really have time for either of those to get doing what they need to do. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a great weekend. We're going to keep our fingers crossed for some rain in our neighborhood. me and Mabel are out there hauling the water. Oh, my goodness. Let me see. Did I get everybody? Got Joe's hostas. And that was a red cedar. Diatomaceous earth around the hostas. Yeah, those are all good. That's really, y'all got some good questions today. Now, I have a lemon tree that has lemons all over it, and the branches are starting to get heavy, and it's starting to do this, kind of lean down on one side. Yes, I'm going to prop the branches up, and then after the fruit comes off, I will prune the tree. You don't wait for them all to turn yellow. They're not going to do that. But that's not to say that it doesn't take 6 or 8 months at times for those lemons to ripen, because they're very short, very slow, I mean. All right. Now, Rhett's saying that last year he rooted a couple of the healthiest small limbs at the base of the apple tree. Now the rooted limbs are taller and healthier, but they didn't produce any fruit. Should I cut out the first severely scarred tree? I would probably take it out, because it hasn't done anything in a while. And it may just be there just enough to compete with what you're trying to do with the new branches. If it's blooming, it has the capacity to make fruit. And that's the best way to tell. If that old piece didn't bloom and was already gone pretty much, I think it may just be gone. I'm having to come to terms with a few branches of things. The Eleagnus, that is the barricade between me and the rest of the world on one side, has suddenly got all sorts of other stuff growing in it that's not Eleagnus. And I'm not sure how that happens, because it's such a tough shrub, you know. But I'm going to have to get out and do something about that. And it will involve taking out some other pieces that are dead. It's okay to do that. You can do that any time of year. But it certainly won't hurt to do it now. I did not know. I obviously don't know enough about volcanology and such things. The
Well, I mean, I did play Star Trek, so you should
that's
know
we have
a little
to get
bit
on
about
that,
volcanology.
Get on that, get on that, that scoop today. Our friends at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution are letting us know about the first long section of rocks that originated in the Earth's mantle. I did not know that the mantle was the planet's largest component. Somebody else undoubtedly did. Excuse me. And they have told them, showed this to them. And as they're explaining it to us, the volcanic activity that is generated when the mantle melts and how that drives the global cycles of everything that happens, you know, it's just really interesting. But I didn't realize that the mantle had so much to do with it. I don't think I studied enough geology. I maybe took one class, but it didn't stick. And certainly I didn't get to study volcanoes except at the volcano park. So that's different, too. A little bit different. I am tickled to tell you that there are plenty of things coming up in the plant it now, get ready to plant it. Start your seeds for anything you want to plant next month. That's everybody from mustards and collards and turnip greens and all that sort of stuff, all the way up through Swiss chard and spinach. Now, if you're going to grow spinach, and to some extent if you're going to grow Swiss chard, you really do need a place to grow it that is neutral in pH. That's not the sort of thing that you're going to plant underneath your blueberry bushes, for example, because the soil's just too acid there. So if you're going to grow spinach, go ahead now and either lime or use the eggshell method. You know, if you happen to be an egg eater with lots of shells that you make that wonderful, it's not exactly a slurry, but people will use that, the eggshells that they've crushed up and put into water to do this particular task. And that is to say, make sure that your soil is as the old folks would say, sweet. That is above the acid level. And you don't have to go, you know, we don't have to go get a different soil. We just need to make sure that we have one that's good and healthy. For example, if you grow asparagus, you've already probably encountered the need to make sure it doesn't get too acid around its base. And you do that. It's not hard to do. You just don't add on all the organic matters and you don't add on all of the organic nitrogens that will produce such an acid condition. So in the case, you know, if we're going to grow spinach next month, we need to prepare a soil that's like that too. In the salad table, when I'm able to grow it in the salad table, I like to keep one section of it for spinach and sometimes for chard too, but they definitely grow differently, and I will maybe take a little bit different approach, more sand in the soil mix, just a little bit of perlite, things that are not going to acidify but will still continue to keep it well drained. Something you might want to think about. Do you know anything about our extended amygdala in our brains? Well, there are folks, fortunately, who are willing to study these things. Scientists are using brainwave measurements and neural imaging techniques. I want to see this lab. These are on people. These are not on mice. I want to see this lab to see what classical music does to you. And its effects are very measurable, and its effects are, on most people, very positive. I have told this story, probably not here, but when I was old before I had children. I was way full grown, okay? And so I had all these ideas. I'd seen everybody else raise their babies, and I was determined to do this, that, and the other thing. And one of those was to bring up my new baby on classical music and appreciate the finer things and whatnot. Baby cried all the way through the classical music, and it was an unpleasant morning. Switched over to, frankly, the Beatles. And the baby went to sleep. And it's been that way ever since. Still not a classical music fan. Now, I'm sorry that happened. I really wanted to rock that baby, too. Turned out that baby didn't like to be rocked. So I say this to say to you, if you're having children, if you're having your first baby, if you're having even your first grandbaby, it may not be what you expected. It's going to be a whole lot more interesting and a whole lot more adventure-filled than you might have known. Absolutely. Mozart's still not a bad idea, just not for everybody. Just not for everybody. Oh, thank you for sending me such interesting pieces of information. I got a lot of milkweed info after we talked last week about having that they'll find the milkweed anywhere. The butterflies are looking for the milkweed, and they will find it. And it was there were some good articles taken from that particular bit of work, and then moving it into the next piece, which is to say, which one should you plant where, and that sort of thing. Not everybody has. Is it trail? Tell me, is it five species that we have that are native here of milkweed? We're lucky. A lot of places don't, and so it was just fun to get those articles, and I appreciate y'all sending them on to me. Anytime you have something like that, you can send to me mamaonair@yahoo.com. Today is World Honeybee Day. So I say go buy some locally produced honey. It'll be good for you, and you'll be supporting a local farmer, and you'll also be supporting the honeybees. There are there's a word, you know. When you watch honeybees work, they go from this flower to that flower and over to here, and they go over there, and they spin around, and they come back over there. And then they make a beeline back to the hive. What causes them to do that? Well, their nectar pouches are full, of course. The bumblebees are headed back to their nest because when their pouches are full, they're going home to feed the babies. But in the case of the honeybees, they're going back to the hive with their nectar. And that is where the term beeline comes from, because they will go straight back to the bee, to the hive, because their geosense is better than mine. They don't have to wait, you know, for the entrance or anything to the freeway. They just go. And that's called a beeline. I like that. I appreciate that we have a Honeybee Appreciation Day. I think that's really smart. If people don't know, they need to.
Well, and if you can't appreciate a honeybee, what kind of person are you?
People who don't. There are people who say those are the European honeybees. They should stay there. We have plenty of native bees here. I like the honey.
I'm more of the fan of the honey. I like the bee, but the honey
the bee's
is
fine.
The
honey's
thing.
Even better. We've been working on. You're not really going to play that, are you? You are, aren't you?
Which one?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I told him it's his birthday. He can play the music he wants. So that's where we're going today.
I have time to flip it out.
No, I'll survive. I'll survive.
There we go. That's the spirit.
There's so many funny things that go on in live radio. So much of what we watch or listen to or whatever isn't in the moment. But if you get up on Saturday morning and turn the radio on, you're getting us unfiltered. We try real hard to be filtered, but it just doesn't work. So that's how we end up here. I love this piece of information. There's a research project going on at Michigan State. I never think about going to Michigan State for to look for things, but this one got my attention. Trying to figure out how plants make life and death decisions. How does the plant decide, for example, not to open that flower or to open that flower, to put on that extra growth or not, because it's going to be too dry or too hot or too something for that one to grow? How do they make that decision, and where does all of that lay? The fate of cells and plants, of course, facing different stress mechanisms can tell us a lot about how to get them to grow better if we understand what makes them stressed out so that they won't grow. Of course, it goes back to our model plant, Arabidopsis. That's the one that they study for everything because it has everything. It's just crazy. And it grows so fast that you can do lots of studies with it. And they've been doing stressing the plants until they identified the protein that controls whether it's going to live or die under those specific stressors. So then as they search through those, they'll be able to find the common denominators that will put the stress mechanisms in more focus for us and understand how we can breed plants that will be more resilient. I love that. If we think about it, if they could give us the key to breed a squash plant that did not succumb to vine borer, for example, or a canna that did not succumb to being wrapped, you know, to the leaf rollers. If they could do that for us because the plant in stress reacted in a different way than the others traditionally did, I think I might be in favor of it. I like that. I like that very, very much. There's just a lot, you know. I know that I'm having to plant some more zinnia seeds. I hope you all are planting more zinnias. This is a fine time to do that. But I also planted some 4 o'clocks. I don't know. It's not the best time to try to sprout them, but the area that I put them in is good, and they may make it and do just fine for me. But I've also gotten some morning glories and some moonflowers. I'm going for a second round of those, mostly just because I want to see whether or not they can take the heat. You know, we'll find out. I'll bring you the update so we will know more. Going to talk about the rave, going to take some more texts, going to talk to you about this, that, and the other thing. And frankly, we're going to continue this program, okay? We got a little ways to go today. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Before heading out in your RV, go through your propane system safety checklist. Take a look at exterior vents and clear away debris and blockage. Check propane cylinders for wear and tear. Inspect all propane appliance connections thoroughly for frays and damage. Make sure your RV has a DC fire extinguisher and propane carbon monoxide and smoke detectors, and have the vehicle inspected annually. Remember, always leave repairs to the professionals. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more.
Retired or
I told you Trey would let me know. He says that there are more than 70 native species of milkweed in the United States. I know we don't have all of them here. We have a bunch here. And I feel like Crosby Arboretum had a program recently about that. But it might not have. I might be wrong about that. Anyway, point is, it doesn't all have to be the Mexican monarch. You know, we talk about that as the flower. It's because people want to grow that particular one. It's beautiful. It's an annual. But we actually have perennial milkweeds that do well here. We have some that reseed themselves. So anyway, something else to explore, and we will do that. He says there are 15 native here in Mississippi. I knew it was a bunch. Some of them are spectacularly pretty, too, by the way. You won't have seen that. They all look like asclepias. They all look like milkweed. But some of their flowers are so intricate and just really, really lovely. Pretty, pretty flowers.
What is the – and I'm sure you've covered this before, but you know, I'm an idiot sometimes and don't remember everything. But why is it called milkweed? Is there a –
It has a little bit of a latex quality to it, but I can't really tell you why it was named.
They just said, hey, we haven't used this one yet. Let's go with milkweed.
Other people call it butterfly weed.
Okay.
You know, I mean, but there's like 17 things called butterfly weed.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
You know,
okay.
Anyway, I don't know. I will look it up. I'm going to try and find out for you.
I'm going to just go with it. I don't think we have used this name yet, so let's call it milkweed.
There are people that sit around in rooms and argue about that stuff, you know, and I'm happy to say I'm not among them. They're nice people, but I can't do that. All right, y'all. Here's the thing. For those of you who have never heard of a rave, there's a certain wonder that you might have escaped that particular phenomenon. But a rave in the dance music world is basically a warehouse with a whole lot of people in it singing, dancing, carrying on, doing whatever they're doing. But it has to be electronic music, and it has to be late at night and dark and a hidden location and all these kind of things. It's a rave.
In ayahuasca or something.
thank you. But in any case, that is the reference that our friends at Flinders University are making about the underground acoustics, because raves are considered to be quote unquote underground. It's not the Fillmore West, okay? It's the warehouse in the Tenderloin District if you're going for the classic places where they originated. So the underground acoustics, though, is one of those things that I have been fascinated by my whole life, and it's one of the pieces. For example, until you learn why organic matter in sandy soil makes it hold water better and why organic matter in heavy clay soil makes it drain better, how can that be? It must be magic. No, it's about particle size. But it feels magical because it is so hard to really grasp until you understand the pieces of the puzzle. And in this case, the underground acoustics are the same thing. We can barely hear them, but we can hear them. The noises in a healthy soil produce cacophony of sounds, and of course this is like this is where they start talking about bubble pops and clicks. And some of it, of course, is the way a critter moves. Some of them are the noises that they make in interacting with one another. Some of them are the plant root interactions, all of these bits and pieces of things. But this is a soundscape, and it is one of the pieces of the puzzle. If I can get you to listen a little bit, you will begin to understand why sustainability is so important to me, why the use of natural sourced products is so important to me. It's because I want your soil to sing. I want your soil to be able to have all of the healthy life in it, the micro life, the macro life, the things that cause your roots to grow healthy because they've got enough ammunition. When they produce their exudate, there's the bacteria there to eat it. There's the whole system works, whether you're looking at it as the underground soil symphony, which is a good one, I like that reference, or if you just want to talk about the soil food web, which is the more academic way of expressing these things. The things going on in your soil are limited by what you do to the soil. Everything from tilling too often to putting stuff in there because you want to kill one thing and it can't kill everything. You know, there's just all of those processes. And we want to understand how these things work. And fortunately for us, the folks at Flinders University are working from the point of view of monitoring the sounds. Which soils have which sounds? Which soils grow the healthier plants? So the next piece of the research, of course, is looking at the healthier soils, how to make that soil healthy or how to keep it from being unhealthy, and how it will grow. It's just brilliant. Just really wonderful. Yeah, it's true. Very much worm nightclubs, live bands. Very true. And for those of us who have long, I mean, if you have experienced hearing the ocean inside of a shell, you can understand that there is, in fact, noise underground.
My cat, Sunshine, I think he parties in the gutters, and there's something going on down there.
There's something out there.
There's a cat party. I just need like a little mini GoPro.
We just need for them to carry it around and tell us where it all happens, yeah, because it is definitely
happening. There is an underground world out there. Lots of sounds.
Interestingly enough. Let's see. Here's a good question. I have a crepe myrtle that it has been shedding most of its bark, which is not unusual, but the leaves are all black. And the bark is black as well. Well, this is what to put on it. This is a case when the bark itself is black as well. It's a bigger problem. It is crepe myrtle bark scale. And generally speaking, it will take numerous applications of pesticide or annual use of a systemic to control it. I would invite you to go, if it's a tree that you want to save, I would go to msucares.com, or you can just search up Dr. Blake Layton crepe myrtle bark scale, and you will get his information about it, which is very reliable, and your nursery will probably be able to help you too. But in terms of getting the product itself, but in terms of how this works and why it's such a big deal, Dr. Layton has done some great work on this particular pest. Where I remember now, it's probably been has it been a decade? It probably has been a decade that when they first started showing us pictures of crepe myrtle bark scale heading this way, you know, and it's here now.
I have a question for you. I see a lot of crepe myrtles out in Rankin County, especially around the reservoir area, some of which seem to have just been allowed to grow with really lightweight trimming and mm-hmm. pruning it mm-hmm. up to about 4 or 5 feet. So they have more of that rounded look. No, they look extremely healthy, though. Mm-hmm. Is there a correlation between too much pruning or too much cutting on a crepe myrtle, so maybe next season you have inherited some of this black and bark rotty type stuff and the little white, you know, scale? Or is it really just environmental?
It's as much as anything else, it's variety mm-hmm. subject. In other words, some crepe myrtles get more than others, but the effect of pruning is over time does weaken the tree because okay. it's consistently having to regrow.
Well, these look like, and I keep going by, I'm looking, and they just don't look like they've ever really been pruned up, maybe about waist high, mm-hmm. a little bit higher, mm-hmm. and they grow it much more.
And they
more,
may not have.
And they look beautiful, but I've seen a lot that have been, you know, you get the crepe myrtle, and sometimes that, I just didn't know.
We really do have different attitudes about crepe myrtles. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people who don't like them unless they have been pruned severely every January. Okay. There are other people who say you should never, ever do any of that. Well, I'm always in the middle. I'm always going to look at the tree. And if the tree itself, if I feel like it needs to have less than the 12 trunks that it's trying to produce, it's not going to ever produce trunks unless you thin those down to about 3 or maybe 5. But if you leave it alone, it's going to be a big shrub, and it's just going to have flowers on it and probably be perfectly happy. But you will have lots and lots of thickety growth if they're not pruned at all.
I saw yesterday an individual chopping it all the way off at about shoulder high.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, this isn't the right time of year to be cutting your crepes.
It's really not.
Yeah, I wanted to go over and tell him. And I didn't want to act like I know it.
Here's the deal, it's your plants. You can do whatever you want, but it will be laid next year's flowers or even later flowers.
So you don't want
to
be cutting off your crepes at this time of year?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. I did learn that from you.
Trey agrees with me that milkweed is the latex.
I knew there had to be
the milky sticky stuff.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you.
I don't think we've ever harvested that particular latex for things that. So that's what I don't know about that.
But the Native Americans had a good use for it, or found something, or you know, glue something together. Or
Tommy and Meridian says that the sap looks like milk. It does. Just it's in the same, not the immediate family, but it's in the same larger family as things like poinsettias, which do that.
Yeah, they have that white milk
hibiscus
to them,
that does that. I mean, they just there's some plants that in part develop apparently to produce latex because it is not tasty to the things that will come and eat the plant.
It tells it to get away.
It's one of those defense mechanisms. So, okay. I will read that when I can get to that, but it won't be right now because it's too many letters. I have to wait for a moment. I am really, I think I'm already doing this, y'all. The University of Évora and Portugal and a bunch of other institutions are surveying abandoned farmlands across Europe for rewilding. Now, that's a term I wouldn't necessarily have thought of, but then this week I learned about railway sleepers, which are the British version of cross ties. So, they're different. They're apparently very prized as well. They build things out of them, too, but they're real expensive. But anyway, in the case of these particular rewilding folks, they're trying to restore some areas, both in terms of trying to make up for the fact that areas were destroyed and then abandoned. You know, if you move in and have a town or a plant or an industry or something, and then you leave, well, the creatures and critters are going to move back in, but it may or may not have the plants that they need because they have been gone for so long. So rewilding involves both plants and animals, and trying to survey these sections. What they have found is they've got goals in the European Union for 2030. They want really to have 10% of the areas under strict conservation, and they really do want to have more rewilding opportunities than they had thought. These are in colder climates. And I think it's real interesting because as conditions change, those areas that have been colder climates may be a little bit more attractive. So if they get rewilded, they might even be more attractive to the plants and animals that are looking for a more comfortable place to be. So I think that's real interesting stuff. But there are there's just incredible 117 million hectares that can be rewilded. You could spend two or three careers doing that. That's interesting. Reintroducing things, bringing back native, for example, where things have been dredged out, restoring some of the land as well, just different pieces of it to get it back as close to you can to how it fit into the environments around it.
And the Mississippi Delta has done a lot of that, and mm-hmm. I know in Louisiana and Arkansas mm-hmm. with WRP, CRP, CREP.
Yep. We have much better
great
movement
programs
here.
That have taken farmland that was, you know, not very – it was great farmland, but it wasn't being farmed because of flooding. Mm-hmm. And you mm-hmm. see that you've rewilded. And it's our camp has a lot of that.
We now actually have pollinator corridors that farmers and conservationists can work together to put in because all of it goes together. You know, it's not I've always said this, you know, a flower head has a lot of little individual flowers, and that's kind of like us as garden community. Each of us has our own power, but we also have a lot more strength if we come together and figure out that if we got pollinator plants and farms going on, both are going to do better. So there's just a lot of things that we need to work on that way. Brenda, these are gigantic. Good heavens. This is just beautiful. It's growing up a pine tree. It's a night blooming cereus. Makes mine look wimpy. This is beautiful. And she says, if the little thing growing on it is a bloom, I'm going to have 11. Yes, you will have at least 11 the first round, and then you'll have even more later. Beautiful plant. I counted 7 buds. I want my bigger plant bloomed once, but it's kind of gone green on me. The other younger plant that I rehabbed this spring, everybody came to the workshop that we held at Lakeland. Everybody looked at me like I was crazy because I kept poking holes in it. And sure enough, that's how I did. I replaced the soil in that container, and it has done beautifully. I now have five buds that are for sure and 2 more that might be. So up to 7. Pretty interesting. I do like that. I'm also kind of intrigued by people who don't like that plant. I've had people tell me that it was a waste of time. It's not. It's a pretty plant. Isn't that nice? Okay, I'm going to read this long scree, and then we're going to come back. Stick around. I hear you working in a saloon. I hear you work from midnight to noon. From the woods, but those eyes don't sound so good. What she's doing is here for a moon. Say it ain't true, it ain't true, Linda Lou. It ain't true, Linda Lou. Say it ain't true, it ain't true, Linda Lou. Say it ain't true, Linda Lou.
Athletics is kicking off Ole Miss football a day early with a gigantic party starring ACM award winner and Ole Miss's own Brett Young live.
In case you didn't know.
Friday night, August 30th at the SJB Pavilion at Ole Miss. It's Brett Young. Young with special guest, another Ole Miss guy, Josh Kelly.
Just like that Georgia clay.
Plus, Mustache the Band bringing their 90s country party. Listen carefully. Reserve seats and parking passes are on sale now at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. So don't wait. Get yours now as we kick off Ole Miss football.
If you're going to take your shot, then take it.
This is your official invitation to start the party a day early with Brett Young, Josh Kelly, and Mustache the Band. Live in concert at the SJB Pavilion. Presented by Ole Miss Athletics and Super Talk Mississippi Media.
Big river.
is where we always feel like we need just a little bit more time. Here come the texts. Woo! I appreciate y'all.
Everybody was sleeping in. They were celebrating my birthday yesterday.
We appreciate
that. I don't blame you. You can sleep in a little bit.
Everybody could stand to do that. Interesting pictures as well. Let's see. Corinne wants to know, what about the lime in the soil? How much in a container? I'm saying about a quarter cup in a 5-gallon container. It takes a long time for lime to take over, but on the other hand, it will begin to work over the time, and that's not too much, but it will help. And that's a good question. How much lime? That's always a good question. All right, Wills and Yazoo, beautiful tomatoes, beautiful banana peppers, all grown in containers. And as he says, there's not space for other stuff. That's really marvelous. That's a lovely, lovely, really cool story about the Worm Nightclub. Tickles me too, by the way. I'm still happy about that. There are just beautiful, beautiful trees all over the place. And I have to tell you that there are a few things that we sometimes are surprised about that we can actually get to grow. And up way up yonder in Ashland, isn't that funny? My goodness, you don't even think about that. How much the difference is for oak trees. We all understand oak trees are going to be so beautiful. But this particular correspondent, whose name happens to be Bob, says that he always saw live oaks as he would drive south from his far north area there in Ashland, Mississippi, to drive farther south. He would see the live oaks, and indeed finally planted one. And here's the takeaway. Yes, it will grow that far north. Yes, it does lose its leaves at 10 degrees, and yes, it comes back. I love that. Mike in Houston, what's going on?
I have got a fantastic experiment going on. You've always mentioned mosquitoes collecting in water-infested buckets, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my morning glories, out there in my garden, I got over 20 different species, beautiful, beautiful double morning glories, beautiful, variegated, beautiful. But all these things have been fed by water that was gathered in buckets,
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
mosquitoes won't get into it.
I love
now,
it.
Now, is that to the good or to the bad?
Oh, no, I love it.
You know, my last project with my invisible fence,
mm-hmm,
the nylon string, but I haven't had too much luck with that. I mean, I've had luck, but I'm busy right now. And I've worked for 43 years at one place, and I just got retired. Now I may have some time to do some stuff, some experiments. You know me, I do weird stuff. You
Congratulations
know
on retirement. That's a goal.
Well,
man.
I'm not liking it a whole lot because
you'll get used to
work.
It.
I want to work.
You'll find lots of work to do. It just won't be that
work. 20 morning glory species, that is a lot of work, Mike.
I think that's a lot of work.
Right. And it is so enjoyable. And do you know these little squirt guns? You get a long tube that you put up the water in it, and you squirt water at somebody or your friend or whatever, or a dog or a cat. That's how I feed some of my plants in a hard-to-reach place.
I love that.
With a squirt gun.
I love that. Thank you, Mike. I'm going to hold on to that picture all day today. Thanks. Yeah, that's a great one. You know, that's the thing. We all come up with our ideas. I love Anna's hose from the pond to get the algae out of the pond and water the plants all at the same time so the fish are happy, she's happy, everything's happy. That's really very, very cool. Very, very smart. Y'all are continuing this about the rave and the underground acoustics. The nightclubs are just, you know, crawling with customers, do-do-do-do-do, screaming with excitement, all of these things. From our friends at UC Santa Cruz, the home of the fighting banana slugs. Turns out it's okay if you're singing in the shower. Please sing louder. Mm-hmm, that's right. Singing from memory is actually harder than we think. And it's actually much more common in terms of our ability. So the people who feel like it's too hard to do and I'm not going to do that, loosen up a little bit. If you get that earworm in your head, it actually helps to get rid of it if you will sing it out. But this particular piece of research, again, from UC Santa Cruz, home of the fighting banana slugs, this is what they suggest that you do. I've told you all about my times in Santa Cruz. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world. Had a great time there. That's also just down the hill, down the mountain from where our friend Renee has her garden seed company. That's that part of the world. It's just absolutely wonderful space. But I got to tell you, I don't know about this musical superpower business. Have you ever lived in an apartment building with really thin walls and you could hear people, well, singing in the shower? Oh, my goodness, that was too much. I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to do that. Manure and compost, however, are as good for your soil as probiotics are for you. Now, there's a controversial conversation. Since there's people that don't think you should, either one of these things should be part of the puzzle, it's again, how is yours working and is it working okay? I believe, and I don't want to say anything, you know, there are commercial sewer sludge products that have been used in gardens for years and years. The testing that they do on these all the time is rigorous, and they are safe to use. But what we have seen in the last several rounds is that just like all the other, like the water and everything else, it has a whole lot more microplastic and a whole lot more prescription drugs and stuff in it than you might want to put into your plant. So people are looking for bigger tests and stronger tests to keep that part of it out. So boosting urban soil health with compost and treated manure can actually reduce the problems in the soil itself. So it all goes back to, you know, as I'm happy to tell you, it all goes back to the soil. If the soil's good, feed the soil, then feed your plants. You produce the soil first, prep the soil as it needs to be, make sure it does whatever that plant that you're fixing to grow needs, and you're going to have a better situation. Because the soil, think about it, if your shoes hurt, you don't grow very well. So that's really how we look at this particular thing in terms of fixing our soils and making them work better. I know that you're aware that our Cavendish bananas that we all like so much, the main one, the only one that's actually internationally produced and sold. There are many other kinds of bananas, but they've not been developed as a crop because they don't ship as well, and also because they didn't grow as easily in as many places. The strain of Fusarium that nearly wiped out the commercial bananas in the 1950s is really one of the bigger problems that our agricultural entities have faced. And guess what? The really good news is that University of Massachusetts Amherst, which you wouldn't expect to be a big banana university, has worked on the molecular mechanisms used by that banana-destroying microbe. So they're going at it from the other direction, not what to do about it after it's present, but because we understand how fungi work, we have to get ahead of it. So they're working on that. I don't know that if you're still out there breeding another banana, I wouldn't stop. But the good news is that we might not need it quite as much. This has been such a great week. Things are growing at my place. I'm sure they're growing at your place. I'm very happy to tell you that the sumac has colored up and is absolutely beautiful. I'm looking forward to this fall. But right now, August is looking pretty good. You want to get in touch with me? I encourage you to do that. Wish Lance a happy birthday one more time. Thank you, sir. We're out of here. Coming up next, of course, it's Buddy Slowick, the rock and roll handyman.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
Do you ever feel like you're in the dark? Well, with a propane generator, you'll never be in the dark again, at least when the lights go out. Enjoy the comfort and safety of knowing you have a propane generator always ready when the electricity goes out. Propane generators assure you'll always have power. Propane-fueled, clean cooking, hot water on demand, warm and consistent heat, and power when you need it most. Why would you choose anything else? Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com today.
Hey, this is Bob.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.